This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Lock and load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Franklin Armory.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
That is the home of the binary trigger, the home of Salus, the home of Providence. Go check them out, franklinarmory.com. There are people that practice teaching self-defense, the art of self-defense, looking at it, observing it, and then there are people a little bit above that cut as well. And joining me now is one of those people. I have followed him since I was a teenager. We're not going to talk about why or how, but he used to write. He's been writing for a very long time. And it's always good for us to have him here. So joining us tonight is Masad Ayoub. Good evening, sir.
Hey, Bill. It's good to be back.
Yes, sir. My pleasure to have you. In the time that you have been writing about self-defense, has the method of crime changed in any degree as far as what people face when they have to take up armed self-defense?
Well, it's always evolving. We have certainly stronger drugs on the streets than ever. We're seeing more multiple opponent attacks, particularly in home invasions. We're seeing more use of body armor by violent criminals. Gang intelligence indicates that some of the organized gangs have sent some of their members who didn't have criminal records yet into the military, so they could get military experience and combat experience and military training that they could bring back and share with the gang. We're not seeing the junk guns on the street anymore. When I came on, it was common to confiscate a pop metal 22 that cost $13. And today you're seeing the bad guys trending toward pretty much the same guns as the handguns, at least, as the cops.
Right. Now, as the sorts of crimes have begun to evolve and you're having more and more disparity of force, does that change the way you teach? Does this change the way people should train for armed self-defense?
To an extent. The body armor, the spread of drugs like fentanyl that essentially render the person you have to shoot insensible to pain. The multiple opponents and all that have trended us toward higher capacity handguns for self-defense. And AR-15s, you see much more now as a traditional home defense, largely replacing the traditional shotgun. They've almost completely replaced the shotgun in law enforcement.
Talking about high standard capacity semi-automatic double stack?
Correct. AR-15s with standard capacity or full capacity magazines.
Now, as far as the types of crime we see, there's crime, and then there's terrorism, and then there's political violence that's beginning to bubble up. Are instructors looking at this and saying, okay, so we're going to have to change a few things about the way we teach people, because there are some situations a person would find themselves in that even armed would be just about untenable in a mob situation, aren't there?
Well, that's probably one good reason to avoid protests where Antifa-type groups might be present, things of that nature.
But in some cases, like for Now, it never seems, I haven't seen this happen yet. I don't know why I haven't seen this happen, but I've noticed Antifa doesn't go anywhere where there's a large, well, at least, is Portland, Oregon, do they have a pretty good gun law? Is it easy to get a concealed carry permit in Oregon?
It's not bad at all. Difficult on reciprocity, but you have to get a non-resident permit, and to do so, you have to live in a contiguous state, last I knew. But for Oregon residents, it's not that difficult to get a carry permit.
And yet, we like in Portland, we haven't seen any armed self-defense in the face of Antifa. Do you think that's just because people who are armed are following that axiom you just put out there about don't go where the trouble is?
Well, anybody smart enough to see that it's a dangerous world and it's a good idea to carry a gun? Is somebody smart enough to see if Antifa is saying they're going to show up at the protest, it's not a really good idea to go.
Right. Now, I've had you on the show before where we've talked about the distance and round count and everything in the average self-defense incident. And what is it? It's like 4 rounds and it's over within seconds. And the distance is not as long as a standard human being would be laid out on the ground. Is that changing?
Well, I'm not sure that was ever true, Bill.
Okay.
First, the vast majority of armed citizen self-defense uses of the firearm, what we call DGUs, defensive gun usages.
Yes, sir.
End without shots being fired at all.
Right.
The bad guy sees the gun. He realizes he's about to suffer what I've come to call a sudden and acute failure of the victim selection process. And he breaks off the attack, or sometimes even surrenders to citizen's arrest. Once the shooting starts, we're seeing a lot of them that go way beyond 3 or 4 shots. An excellent data source is Tom Givens. His civilian graduates now have been in almost 70 self-defense shootings. I think the most that any of them has had to fire is 11, but a whole lot of them have had to fire more than 4 or 5. And that's why Tom recommends they carry a double-stack magazine pistol and a serious caliber.
Which, what does he consider to be a serious caliber?
9mm and up. Tom carries a 9mm these days. And we're seeing a big swing back in law enforcement to the 9mm. The rationale being that the modern ammunition has made it a much more effective round than it was in the 60s or 70s.
Well, that's...
Tom also found the average civilian shooting involving his students in the Memphis, Tennessee area was about a car length away.
Car length. Okay. So things are changing. They are stretching out. And is this due to drugs?
One thing I've got to look at, too,
yeah,
is the trained citizen is going to be, like hopefully the well-trained cop, is going to be alert enough. They see danger coming sooner than somebody who didn't go beyond, I'll buy a gun, I'll get a permit, I'll stick it in my pocket, and now I'll have my talisman that wards off evil. And they walk around with their nose and their iPhone. And the trouble sneaks up on them. The sooner you see danger coming, the more distance you're going to have. And distance will tend to favor the trained shooter very strongly.
I noticed that the people that I would consider to be a trained shooter, like you, like Tom Givens, like any, and, you know, not the students notwithstanding, but I noticed most of the really high-speed people I know about and everything, are apparently their awareness is so good, they just never get involved in anything like this. Is that fair enough to say?
Well, basically, again, it's all part of a package. The what I teach is a continuum of...
I tell you what. Hang on for me. My son, I asked that question without looking at the clock.
Sure.
And we're coming up on the first break. How would they find you? How do they find Massad Ayoub?
MassadAyoub group.com. We teach all over the country.
Very good. I know that John Adeen just took one of your classes. He was all jacked up to come and train with you and from the Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. And then he was texting me the whole, just graduated, just got, I'm one of Massad's people. And so anyway, I just.
He's one of our highest level, fourth level graduates.
There you go. You hang on for me. We'll be right back. Talking to Massad Ayoub. This is Lock and Load. ¶¶
Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Franklin Armory.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Indeed, check them out at franklinarmory.com. We are speaking this evening with Massad Ayoub, instructor, writer. You also do expert witnesses, don't you? I mean, you are the expert witness in a lot of cases. So,
I've been on that for 41 years now.
Which do you ever have to go do witnessing, like say in California, New Jersey? You ever get called to those?
I did a California case last year and a Jersey case many years ago. Done them in more states than not over the years.
So, do you tend to find yourself having to go to states where concealed carry is a little more prevalent, or does it matter, or is it even a thing? Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Well, it varies. We've got Arizona down there. Everybody carries, it seems. Northern California, it's not at all that difficult to get a permit. In fact, Sacramento County now is virtually shell issue. Southern California, for the most part, is still May issue under the state law. And, well, you know, one of the great progressions that we've made in the last 30 years, Bill, 30 or more years ago, there were seven states where there was no provision for a private citizen to legally carry a loaded concealed handgun in public. Today, every single state has some provision for it, although some states like Hawaii and Maryland, make it difficult to darn near practically impossible. 30 years ago, there were only a few shell issue states. Generally, it was the May issue paradigm. And in a lot of places, the May issue, in which it was entirely up to the decision of the issuing authority, it turned into give you a permit if you're white, rich, male, politically connected, and ideally you've contributed to the mayor's or the sheriff's election campaign in the last election.
Yeah.
Today, those are the minority. The great majority now are a shell issue. 30 years ago, there were only two states that recognized permits from other states, Michigan and Indiana. Today, the great majority of states have at least some reciprocity and many universal reciprocity with all permits. 30 years ago, Vermont was the only state where you could carry without a permit, and today we have more than a dozen. So on that front, we have made great strides.
That is good. That is that. When you take it in that context, it doesn't look like the rights are contracting. They're actually expanding, in which I love that.
Insofar as concealed carry, that's actually true.
Yeah. With you, now, over time, I've seen you shoot revolvers with great competency, semi-autos, single stacks. Are the days of those kind of guns being a recommended gun to be carried gone because of the change?
They are less popular for the reasons we've discussed, and the fact that most auto loaders are a little bit easier to shoot than the double-action revolver because of the shorter, easier trigger pulse. That said, though, the revolver is not ready for the museum yet. I personally prefer a small revolver for a backup gun.
Right.
Because the shape of it makes it clear an ankle holster or a pocket holster faster. And what a lot of people miss with the backup gun, one of the big advantages is it allows you to arm another person who's competent to use a gun in an emergency if they don't have their own. Now, if I handed the Glock that I'm carrying today as primary to, let's say, a cop who retired from NYPD 30 years ago, he would never have fired a semi-automatic pistol on duty. And if he grabbed it with the old revolver grip with the thumb of the support hand across the back of the firing hand, he'd get one shot before the slide jammed against his thumb. A hammerless revolver, double-action revolver, anyone competent to use it is not going to screw it up. You're not going to have time to give someone a in an emergency to give them a tutorial on, hey, here's a 1911, and by the way, here's the safety, up is safe, down is fire. If you have someone who's always shot a Glock, and you had him, let's say, a conventional 6-hour or a P226, you won't have time to say, hey, after the first shot, the trigger's going to stay back, and here's where the decocker is, and the trigger staying back doesn't mean it's broken, it means it's working. double action only revolver. Nobody's going to screw it up, and they're at least going to have five shots to back you up with.
Let me ask you a question about that. We've only got about 3 minutes left, 2.5 minutes left in this segment. With the example you use of finding a New York Police Department cop that was retired, if you were to hand him a gun that was anything but what is issued in the New York NYPD, with the 12-pound trigger, are they going to be able to handle that? Because, I mean, they use the 12-pound trigger to make up for the difference in training, right?
Point. And another thing in favor of the double-action revolver is a backup gun that you might have to hand off to a trusted other person.
Right. They don't mess with the double-action, single-action pistols that way?
Well, NYPD had revolvers only until 1993. And ever since then, they've had double action only with the mandated 12-pound trigger pull, no manual safeties, and no decocking levers. So on your own gun, your primary gun, you know, you can make a very good argument for a 1911 or any other pistol with unsafe carry, particularly if there's a struggle for the gun and the bad guy momentarily gets it away from you.
Right.
We've seen over the years, I have lost count how many cases, armed citizens and police alike, where the bad guy got hold of the gun, pointed it at the good guy, pulled the trigger, and couldn't make it go bang because they hadn't figured out where's the lever that turns on the gun. And by the time they do, you can either do many unpleasant things to that person and get your gun back, or you can run a considerable distance, which beats that guy being shot in the next 1 second. So there are a whole lot of things that a lot of people don't think about that need to go into the selection of the personal firearm.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to try to stay with 9mm myself just simply because most of the ones I own are ones that I train with a lot. But at the same time, I can't imagine the second gun. I've always thought of the second gun that way. I tell you what, let's hold up this line of thought one more time. Tell everybody how they find Masada U before we hit the break.
Sure. MasadaUGroup.com, where they have the explanation of who we are, what we do, where our classes are all over the country. It's MasadaUGroup.com.
We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Like a piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senators are reviewing the U.S. response to the growing coronavirus threat. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar is testifying on Capitol Hill, as is DHS Secretary Chad Wolf. Republican Senator from Louisiana John Kennedy tells Wolf, "We need some answers here as far as what's exactly going on."
Mr. Secretary, I'm going to hush here. You're supposed to keep us safe, and the American people deserve some straight answers on the coronavirus. and Senator, I'm not getting them from you.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is expected to take some heat tonight during the latest Democratic presidential debate. Sanders is looking to keep his momentum going in Saturday's South Carolina primary after wins in New Hampshire and Nevada. Meantime, former Vice President Joe Biden finished second in Nevada and is looking for a much-needed win in the Palmetto State. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount, and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
And welcome back. Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Franklin Armory.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word Lock and Load at franklinarmory.com.
Indeed, check them out, franklinarmory.com. We're speaking with Massad Ayoub, going over various aspects of things to consider when practicing armed self-defense. Is the line or the bar for being where you're basically cleared by the law to employ lethal force, is that a relative thing? Is a 80-year-old, is he bound by the same rules of engagement to employ lethal force versus, say, a 25-year-old?
Well, the law takes that into account with an element that's called disparity of force. You can only use deadly force, force likely to cause death or great bodily harm, such as shooting someone, if they have the power to kill, what's commonly called the ability factor. Normally, that would be a per se weapon. Your attacker has a gun, a knife, a club, whatever. But there is also the disparity of force element. That means that even though he's ostensibly unarmed, his physical advantages over you are so great that if the attack continues, you're likely to be killed or crippled. And that disparity of force becomes the equivalent of law of a deadly weapon that warrants your recourse to a per se deadly weapon like a defense gun to stop him. It could be just he's much bigger and stronger than you. It could be force of numbers, multiple opponents. Very often male against female, because it's understood that the male tends to be larger, stronger, and culturally more disposed to physical aggression. But it can also be what you're talking about, the not so much the age, but the decrepitude, if you will, that comes with age. The physically handicapped person attacked by the able-bodied is seen as a disparity of force situation. And that could be the elderly person who can barely walk. It could be someone who has sustained a broken kneecap in the course of the immediate assault and now is immobilized. It could be also position of disadvantage. Now, that means maybe you and he were equally matched at the start of the fight, but he's got you up against the wall, he's smashing your head against a brick wall. You know in a moment your skull's going to fracture and you're going to be brain damaged, and there's no other way to stop the attack.
Right.
It could be that the person is known to you or obviously has very high skill in unarmed combat, which you do not have. So that has always been with us. As long as any of us have been alive, the disparity of force element has been there. And an interesting thing, Bill, people tend to conflate gun laws with self-defense laws, and they're two entirely different things. Gun laws per se, what kind of gun can you have, where can you carry it at all, that sort of thing, is a 50-piece patchwork quilt. Bill, there are no two states that have identical gun laws in every respect. Self-defense law is the exact opposite. It's homogeneous. The same principles work in all 50 states. About the only differences are there are still a few states that have a requirement to retreat prior to using deadly force. Some people call it a back-to-the-wall law. But that, in essence, many states have adopted the stand-your-grounds laws that have rescinded that retreat requirement, and I think that's all to the good. But, in essence, it doesn't change things much, because even in the states that do have a retreat requirement, it's written that retreat is only demanded if it can be accomplished in complete safety to yourself and all other innocent parties.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Hard for any of us to imagine a situation where we would have shot a guy to death if we could have simply turned around and walked away.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in some cases, like with me, you know, prior to me having this heart attack I had 5 years ago, I could run fairly a decent amount. I can still ride a bike. I just don't ever have one with me most of the time. Even if I could run, I have knees that the martial arts / military took care of. So I'm basically, you know, I'm stuck with trying to talk my way out of it as my best first encounter. But then again,
let me interrupt, Bill.
Yeah.
A strong suggestion for you or anyone in anything remotely like your physical situation: if you have a physical ailment, a physical handicap, physical frailty of any kind that is not readily apparent, you know, you're not in a wheelchair, you're not hobbling down the sidewalk on a walker, if somebody tries to start a fight with you, yell as loudly as you can, "Sir, I have a heart condition. If you hit me, I could die." If he continues the assault, that creates an element on his part of manifest intent to kill a cripple, which
sure.
is another key element in a successful self-defense plea. And all the witnesses will have heard it.
That's good. I had not thought about that. I don't, you know, the biggest problem I have is where they cut your chest when they do open heart surgery. Those have a tendency to come apart. And I don't know under how much force that would happen. But the hardest part about the heart attack is not the heart attack. It's the getting over what they do to you when they open you up. And that's my biggest concern. That's why I don't mountain bike or anything else. If I'm biking, I'm just biking on a, you know, regular trail. But it's not like I never have looked at myself as being handicapped yet, but I do know that I have this special condition and that I have to be aware of and everything else. And I would hope that I still remember enough of my martial arts stuff to where close up, at the very least, I could stop that from coming and create a little space and maybe diffuse the situation. And then if, you know, after I've said that and everything else, then I guess I'll be shooting to deanimate.
Shoot to stop would be a better phrase.
I think John Farnham uses shoot to deanimate, and I just like the way that sounds. I wouldn't say that in court.
It does have a sound, but shoot to stop, it's actually not word games. It's not a grammar nasty thing. It actually really goes to the heart of guilt or innocence. One of the elements is it's going to come down to why did you shoot him? Okay, you're never going to say, no, I didn't shoot him. You know, a one-armed man shot him, Lieutenant Gerard, and ran down the street, okay?
Right.
What's going to come down to is why did you shoot him? If you say something that sounds like, or you've told people that you're going to shoot to kill, it sounds like your purpose was to kill. Your purpose was to end his life, and that just reeks of malice. Sir, I shot to stop. I shot to stop him from killing me. I shot to stop him from taking me away from my wife and my kids and my grandkids. It literally makes all the difference. We saw it classically in the Amber Geiger murder trial a few months ago in Texas. The turning point of the trial was when the attorney asked the defendant, when you shot him, did you shoot to kill? And her answer was in the affirmative. Now, I was watching that on live stream, and I just winced because she had shot herself someplace more vital than the foot, and she wound up being convicted and is serving a 10-year sentence now. The appeal is going, but I don't know how long that's going to take. So we all have to be crystal clear on that. It's not just political correctness in the terminology. Shoot to stop versus shoot to kill is literally the difference between guilt and innocence, between malice and benevolent rescue.
Well said. Well said, sir. I appreciate the correction. I also appreciate the pointer. We're coming up on the last break. We're going to be right back. Our guest is Massad Ayoub, and this is Lock and Load.
Remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
To you live. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Franklin Armory.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word Lock and Load at franklinarmory.com.
Check them out, franklinarmory.com. We've been speaking with consultant, instructor, writer, Masad Ayoub. And this is the main point I wanted to talk to you about and discuss with you when I called you earlier today. Are instructors changing their syllabus to reflect the reality of the 21st century environment which we live in? I mean, do you think we're ever going to see a time where we have an attack like the Westgate Mall in Kenya or the dismounted attack in Mumbai? And I mean, that's a whole different kind of dynamic for somebody to be involved in, isn't it?
Let me put it this way. It's something American police are planning for. And I won't go into it anymore, but if they're planning for it, I think the rest of us should. And if you look at the Westgate as opposed to Mumbai, one of the big differences there were armed citizens who were able to help, and in Mumbai there were not.
In Westgate, though, the armed citizens responded because the military took, 4 hours to respond to this?
It took a while. It took a while to mobilize them.
I've read accounts of people hearing about this happening, and they were not at the mall, and they drove to the mall and went into the mall.
Well, if you think about it, Bill, the whole rationale of the defensive firearm is the same rationale as the first responder in a medical emergency or the person who grabs a fire extinguisher when the stove catches fire.
Sure.
If you're right there when the danger breaks out and you're equipped and trained to deal with it, you end it with minimal loss. If you have to wait the typical 11 minutes or more for a police response, fire response, or ambulance response, there's going to be a lot of mortality before the designated responders of society get there to deal with it. I was a cop for 43 years, so they called us first responders. We were the official first responders, the first official responders. The real first responder is the citizen there when it happens. That's why we consider it today to be and socially derelict if you don't know CPR, hemorrhage control, and basic first aid. That's why you're considered pretty careless with your family's safety if you don't have fire extinguishers and smoke alarms right in your house. The defense of firearm in the home or carried in public is a direct analog to the fire extinguisher. It's an emergency safety rescue tool for the first responding citizen to use to cut a lane of safety and stop the danger until the designated professionals can get there to take over. And a whole lot of society seems to be missing that basic, obvious truth of the time-space continuum. We've got 320-plus million people in this country and fewer than a million cops. Do the math. There can't be a cop, a firefighter, or a paramedic on every doorstep 24/7. It's simply individuals taking responsibility for something that obviously they can't wait for the professionals to get there all the time.
I pointed that out. I think the actual figure is there's one police officer for every 19,000 of us. Does that sound about right to you?
Ooh, we try for one per thousand. But again, what you're looking at and what makes your figure valid, every one of those officers is only working 40 hours in a 40-hour week, and the same is true of the firefighters and the paramedics. In 52 of those weeks, at least two of those weeks are going to be vacation. There's going to be, at least for any of them, a week, 40 hours of mandatory in-service training. And for the cops, God knows how much court time, and that's before you get into sick time, injury time, et cetera. And that's why I don't think America wants a cop on every doorstep. That would be the Gestapo. That would be the KGB or the Stasi.
Right. Right, but I, you know, at the same time, the point I'm trying to make is that one other thing that you didn't mention is most of the cops, even when they're on duty, what is the percentage of them that are actually going to respond to calls versus the ones that are administrative and leadership positions? You know,
there's that as well. There's that as well.
So my point is that it probably behooves any citizen out there, given the 11.11-minute response time, because that's a long time to in the event that, like, say, an assailant, let's say a rampage killer. For rampage killers out there, I have read that for every minute that he is allowed to operate without being disrupted, you can expect a minimum of 3 people killed per minute. Does that sound right to you?
Probably that or more.
Yeah. Depending on the environment, I guess whoever the killer is, I guess that would be the case, and depending on how fast people got out of the way. Do people ever come up to you and ask you what do you consider a soft target?
Well, certainly the so-called gun-free zone. By definition, the only
right.
people who obey the gun-free zone sign are the law-abiding, and they're not the ones we're worried about. Someone prepared to commit murder is not going to give a damn about a gun-free zone sign. They say gun-free zone. I say hunting preserve for psychopathic murderers.
Yeah. I call it, what do I call it? I call it, fish in a barrel or a rampage-friendly zone.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I'm waiting to see if there's ever a time where we see laws pop up where whoever puts that sign in place has to assume liability for anybody that gets hurt. I'm waiting to see if that ever happens.
They're trying. There are actually people trying to put that legislation in. Good luck getting it passed in today's climate. And even if it passed, it would be cold comfort for the survivors of the dead.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Has your training changed any to consider these mass or these multiple opponent scenarios that are happening in the public, like Antifa or Westgate Mall?
Something we've included for many years now. We tell them, if you're there when that breaks out first, don't immediately grab the gun. People are going to hear the gunfire. They're going to look around and see the first person they see with a gun. If they're not wearing a police uniform, they're going to assume he's the murderer.
Right.
And there's an excellent chance another armed citizen will shoot you by mistake, an off-duty or plainclothes cop will shoot you by mistake, or a 300-pound football player will punch you in the head and knock you out from behind. Don't draw the gun until you have found and identified the threat. You may have to drop to kneeling to angle a shot upwards, so if your bullet exits or misses, It's not going to strike a bystander on the other side of the guy. And as soon as you've got him down, get the gun put away, because the police are going to be coming there in, you know, the highest imaginable alert status. And anyone standing there with a gun is likely to be shot. One of the effects that occurs in things like this is auditory exclusion. It's a cortical perception thing where we're so focused on what we're doing that we, the subconscious, the conscious mind is screening out background noises. If you've ever shot a deer and don't remember hearing the shot go off, that was auditory exclusion. Your mind was focused elsewhere. In addition, your ears may be ringing from gunfire in a closed place, and you can't hear someone yell, "Police, drop the weapon." If you do hear them yell, "Police," it's human nature to turn towards sudden sounds. There's a gun in your hand. You're going to be turning toward the cops with a gun in your hand, and you are going to be shot. And every case I've seen where that has happened, the cops were held harmless for having done so, because shooting you under those circumstances would be, from their perspective, a reasonable act. So don't draw the gun until you know you have a shot at the threat. Get the threat down, and as soon as the threat is down, get the damn gun put back away out of sight.
Good advice. I want to thank you for taking the time to join me this evening, sir. It's always good to have you aboard.
It's been a pleasure. I appreciate all that you do for all your listeners, Bill. Keep spreading the word.
One more time, how they find you.
Masada U Group, we teach around the country, MASSADAYOOB Group.
Thank you, sir.
Reading material, I've got probably 20 books out, plug my name in Amazon, and if you find one you think is of interest, go ahead. The one that would be most on point to tonight's discussion would be my book, Deadly Force. For reading, AmericanHandgunner.com is free online. I do every issue in AUB Files, an extensive study of an actual gunfight based on what the survivors had to say about it. And I do the Cop Talk column there also.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis Quality Built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.